Tonight, please join me in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you. And I pray, Lord, that you would just go before us now in the strength of your might and bless this teaching, this word that you have provided for your people. And do so in a way that moves all of our hearts. And I pray that every heart would be open to receive your word, your words of love and wisdom, encouragement and power. So Lord, bless us. We are eagerly waiting for you to speak. In the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. So tonight, our study is going to be on God's male and female, not the world, as it pertains to mankind and God's grand design for each of us, males and females, as humans. I think we know that we were created for a divine purpose. We need to truly understand that, to carry out God's will, but instead, we chose otherwise. And because of that, God's ordained order fell into the hands of the evil one, who hates every aspect of God's plan for his creation. Satan is the author of confusion. And he does everything that he is allowed to do in order to cause chaos. And this grand design of male and female has been under attack since the beginning of time. And we know, as we come closer to the end of the age, we can clearly see these attacks becoming bolder and more frequent. Now, we know that all of this behavior, evil behavior, will increase in the world. But as Christians, we are charged with standing firm on God's word and his ways, despite what's going on outside in the world. And it's sad that so many buildings that call themselves churches appear to mistake being welcoming and loving for having a compromising and all-inclusive lifestyle regarding the behaviors of man. And they bring it inside the church. You know, it's really sad that this transgender movement has actually hijacked a most serious medical issue. It has. And what it does is continues to maliciously use it for this satanic agenda. And I say this because there are people out there who actually need assignment surgery of some type. They're actually born with these abnormalities, and they're unthinkable. And they have to live these lives that will never be normal. And in many cases, they decide to end their lives. And while some people who are dealing with those conditions champion this transgender movement as they enjoy those fringe benefits that come along with it, and sadly, some of that's because the church has rejected them. They have physical problems. But those who are in Christ and seeking Christ that have those conditions recognize that this is a takeover by the enemy. And they're caught in the middle, so to speak. But what's also sad is that when it comes to God's design of male and female, is that too often we see a compromising nature from professing Christians, to include pastors that are behind the pulpit. And they accept what the world's view is of male and female instead of what God has clearly created. And no matter how much the world rages and screams and pumps their fist, they can never undo what God has ordained. You will never change the mind of the everlasting God. So what we're going to do in our study tonight prayerfully is that we're going to look at a few truths from the Word of God and then also look at some scientific truths from the world that we live in. And then look at the calculated, confused hypocrisy regarding gender today and why we as Christians prove ourselves to be unworthy when we align ourselves with a worldly worldview. With that said, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. This is going to set the stage for our discussion. Genesis, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Excuse me. The Word of God reads, "This is the book of the genealogy of Adam in the day that God created man. He made him in the likeness of God." Verse 2, "He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created." How many times have we read this? Or had it read to us? So the question is, to those who profess to be Christians, is, do you believe this statement made here in the scriptures to be true? Do you believe it as a professing Christian? And that is a closed-in question, meaning it requires an answer of either yes or no. Anything in between is a long no. Do we believe this? This is where the rubber meets the road. Ask yourself, do you believe it to be the truth? And if your answer is yes, then everything we discuss should make sense and or at least provide a foundation for reasonable discussions among us Christians. But if your answer is no or anything in between, then your view regarding male and female aligns itself with the world, putting you at enmity with God. It doesn't have to be that way. I pray that if it is corrected. However, the Word of God reads in the Bible, in the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 4, the following. "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And this goes for any type of friendship with the world that goes against the Word of God and His ways. In other words, any compromise for the sake of, let's just keep the peace. Let's all be friends. Everything will be fine. Those actions dishonor God. And it's a big difference from abstaining and not being over-righteous over much Of course, we need to have discerning hearts, but this is not what we're talking about here. This is that bowing down to the world while breaking the heart of the true and living God. And I believe that we have all done this, and perhaps still do it from time to time. But at the end of the day, it is wrong. We should not be doing that, claiming to be Christians, following Jesus Christ. As believers, we need to have spiritual courage to address these social issues, despite if people are listening or not. Our job is to speak truth. Saying nothing is becoming party to the evil. And I know it's not easy. I don't want to be hated. I'm very hated by many professing Christians. I have emotions. I bleed and sweat. I have my moments. I hurt. But I'm called to speak the truth. And regardless of our feelings, we need to stay faithful to the Lord and stop being intimidated by the world. This world that Jesus has already overcome. And with Christ in us, we have overcome it as well. Do we believe that? You know how the world views courage? Oh, go against anything moral and you are the most courageous person in the world. Think of it. You come out the closet, oh, you're so brave. So courageous. You break the law today? Look at him. Don't stand for that. Yes, break the law. The law's no good anymore. We do what we want to do. You're courageous. That's how the world views courage. Courage is standing on the side of Christ. That takes courage. Do we have it? Or are we cowards? So if you're looking to stand out and sometimes stand alone as an individual, that is, stand on God's word. I love it when the Bible says, be strong and of a good courage. Oh, I try to read that all the time. I need that. I believe we all do. It's timeless. Now, so why is this male and female thing so important in the first place? And why does it seem like so many of the few fundamental Christians choose to aggressively address issues such as gender defining and sexual immorality instead of other sins? Isn't that so hypocritical? Don't we appear to be so biased? And what scripture directly speaks to gender reassigning as a sin in the first place? I'm going to tell you, directly, there's not one. I ask you a question. What scripture directly tells me not to smoke crack? You get my point? Rebellion against God is a sin. But we should know that our bodies are temples where the Holy Spirit is to dwell. And we are to take care of this tabernacle until we are given our new ones. But As we address this issue, let's let the Bible tell us why it should be raised to such a level. And it should. The short answer is that it all begins here. It all begins with who we were created as. All of it does. But the first reason we're going to tackle is captured in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The Word of God reads, "And you he made alive," speaking of God making us alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Verse 3. "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Do we catch that? And those others are those who are not saved. And they continue to conform with the most unholy triune known to man, that being the world, the devil, and the flesh. That's what this speaks to. And living in such a condition is a trademark to those who by nature are children of wrath. Those who are not regenerated. And this conclusion of not being regenerated is made simple. Because you see that people look exactly like the world. There is no difference. People that claim to be Christians, they still align themselves with the world, the devil, and the flesh. So, if you're not a child of God, by default, you are a child of the devil. That's it. You know, I think when Jesus was talking to those religious leaders, captured in John chapter 8, verse 44, where he says, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Oh man, they were mad. But their hearts weren't in the right place. They did all this acting out and whatnot, appearing to be one way when they weren't. They didn't believe. They did not believe Jesus' words, nor what they meant, nor his ways. And now today we continue to witness this unbelief in so many ways when you talk about the scriptures, including gender. Not recognizing that it all begins with who God created us as in the first place. That meaning male and female. This is sacred. It's the Lord's doing. And nothing that man attempts to do will change it. But again, that's not the main reason why this issue of gender and sexual immorality must be brought to the highest levels in the church. I believe that we could find the main reason back in Genesis. We read it. It's also in chapter 1, verses 27 and the first part of verse 28. And to me, this is the capstone. So we'll read again, slightly different, but here it goes. "So God created man in his own image. The image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them." The image of God is mankind, male and female, as they were created. Anything else is not the image of God. Now, This is where many Christians attempt to make excuses and justify gender neutrality, like bringing up the fact that some people are born or have been born and created, they say, with both genders. It's what they use. Oh, stop right there. People are born this way. And then many professing Christians also like to use eunuchs as a launch pad for homosexuality. You should see the internet full of this. That's what they do. As well as gender issues, they'll bring up the eunuchs. Well, let's tackle the eunuchs first. Because eunuch is defined as the following. Number one, a castrated man placed in charge of a harem or employed as a chamberlain in a palace. Number two, a man or boy deprived of the testes or external genitalia. And number three, a man who voluntarily abstains from marriage. This is what a eunuch is. And this is exactly what Jesus would describe, captured in the book of Matthew, chapter 19 and verse 12, when he was discussing celibacy after speaking about marriage and divorce. The word of God reads, "For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs, listen, for the kingdom of heaven." Sake. And then lastly, he says, "He who is able to accept it, let him accept it." And that is speaking to marriage. Read the whole account. For the kingdom of heaven's sake. So for a Christian to use eunuchs as an excuse for homosexuality and gender identity, it does not stand with the scriptures. But still, we have many Christians that fall for this. And it's sad. But since that's the case, that's why we have to address it. This gender and sexual immorality head on as a church. You know, as males and females, we do vary in many ways, but there's a commonality that we all have. And when this commonality is not present, we recognize that there is a problem of some sorts. And more than often, that problem is due to some type of genetic issue or birth defect. And according to the Bible, all of this woe, this whole, all the curse, death itself, all of it is a byproduct of sin. That's what it stems from. And when we look at the Word of God, we see that these disorders and defects are not natural, even in our fallen state. They're not. Because if they were, no need to heal them. No need to even discuss them in any way. And they would not require medical attention. But they do. And we have to recognize this. Because as Christians, knowing that we're in this fallen state, we should not and cannot accept that any type of disorder is to be normalized as God's ordained plan. This is not His design. This is a result of our disobedience. When you think about that lady who goes into the doctor's office 6 to 7 months pregnant, getting those routine checkups, and then the doctor says, oh, there's maybe an issue here. How do you think she feels and that husband feels? Do you think they're looking for, you know, hey, you know, it's an issue, but we normalize that one. Any loving parent, no matter who they are, what they want is a healthy baby. They don't want defects or anything that is defective to be called normal. They want it addressed because they know that defects rob you of many things. Who would want that? No matter how they're born, we are to love them, no question. And love our Lord even more. But the point that needs to be understood as Christians is when it comes to the sexuality, there are only two sexes that God created. And they complement one another to express the image of God. Anything else is an anomaly. And that word and any of them like it really jams people's gears, even those who profess to be Christians, who have bought into this idea that man gets to choose his gender. Even when the biological factors are different, even when the blood of each and every one of us tells us the truth. And make no mistake about it, this whole gender debate and whatnot, and this sexual discussion that's going on in the world is spiritual warfare. That's what it is. And we have to expose this in all ideas that go against God. It's a part of our calling. In fact, we look at the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. The Word of God reads, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Verse 5, "casting down arguments of every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." This is a very well-known passage of Scripture. The sad thing is it seems that it's truly absent in most of these buildings that they call churches, especially when dealing with the issue of God's male and female. No one wants to talk about it. It's taboo. It's amazing that our God, in His wisdom, has given man the unique opportunity to see the macro of His creation, the breadth of it, on an enormous scale. We can't even think of it. And then also in His wisdom, He's given us the opportunity to see it on the micro level, inside our own bodies, how it works. And in doing so, God has made those invisible things clearly seen, so man is without excuse. Now, from a biological standpoint, everyone who has attended even the most underprivileged elementary school has the basic knowledge of this right here when we're talking about the DNA of each person, where there are specific chromosomes inside that identifies us as male and or female. And female, should I say. Male or female. Don't want to get it twisted. Females are given the XX chromosomes and males are given the XY chromosome. And a simple blood test prior to birth or anything for that will prove this as a fact. And this is a fact that scientists cannot refute, and in fact, they don't. Keep that in your mind. They don't refute this. They don't. But regarding those who are born with that unclear gender that we talked about earlier, they're classified as having a disorder of sex development, or DSD. And the term that used to be used exclusively was hermaphroditism. That used to be used, which involves children being born with, the definition here, tissue that is related to both the ovaries and the testes, internal sex organs for both genders, external genitalia that are partly ambiguous, or chromosomes that are either normal female or male or a mixture. This is a disorder. And it is a very difficult disorder for parents to have to deal with and that child as well, because decisions are made early in that child's life. This is painful. Very painful. And it's sad for anyone to have to go through any defect. But we're here talking about this issue. And again, this is the issue that has been hijacked by the transgender movement. This is one of their main motivators for the entire LGBTQIA plus 24 community. It's been taken so they can push this agenda on the claims that biology has nothing to do with gender identification. They use this. They take this serious issue and roll it into various aspects of this transgender movement. And what they have done, with much success, by the way, because they team up with some doctors in various fields of research, even though we know it's a disorder, and have now normalized this disorder of sex development. And the way they have done it, their first order of business was to make hermaphroditism natural. And now, the word that we have that's being taught to our children in school, as well as us, is the word intersex. And this word is being defined as, listen to this definition. Intersex people are born with some biological characteristics that are considered female and others that are considered male. And Planned Parenthood is putting this out. Do you hear me? And Planned Parenthood continues, and they make this claim. Being intersex is a naturally occurring variation in humans and isn't a medical problem. Planned Parenthood goes on to say, it's also more common than most people realize. It's hard to know exactly how many people are intersex, but estimates suggest that about 1 in 100 people are born in the U.S. is intersex. This is a complete lie. A complete lie. And many Christians are being seduced by this lie because of the cares and affairs of the world and politics. So here we have Planned Parenthood, and their claims suggest that 1 in 100 people are born in the U.S. are intersex. And then they claim that this is a naturally occurring variation in humans. And our children are getting this garbage in school. Now, let's keep with that logic for a second. I just want you to consider these numbers. The CDC reports, not Planned Parenthood, by the way, that one in approximately 100 children in the U.S. are born with some type of congenital heart defect. And they are the most common types of birth defects. And even though these defects are extremely common, they are rightly noted as being a birth defect. They try to push the fact that they want you to feel that one in 100, look at that number, it's normal. Well, what about these one in 100s? Do we think this is normal? It gets better. Because in many cases, no prolonged treatment is required for a CHD. Now, can you say that for transitional surgery and or the process itself? Can you say that? Because when you are transitioning, you need medication for life. You must have hormone therapy your entire life. It's hard to believe that anyone would want to try to normalize any type of heart defect, no matter how common it is. And thank God they don't. But the question becomes, why do they do that for the sexes? It's an agenda, a dark one. Who's behind it? Oh, we know. And this normalizing of intersex is then used by the transgender community to justify their movement, even though as transgenders, none of them have an intersex condition. Are you following me? They have fully functional reproductive systems, whether it be male or female. And this right here is only the beginning of what's being taught in schools, by the way. Because the byproduct of gender neutrality is gender identity and then sexual orientation. As alluded to, and according to the world, sex, gender, and sexual orientation are all separate subjects. The world teaches that while sex may be biological, they don't refute that. Gender identity itself is emotional and of the mind, while as sexual orientation is how you feel in your heart. This is what they're showing the children in school. And this is very destructive thinking. Back in Connecticut, my last job, I was in the office one day. A young man comes inside, 27 years old, and says, "Hey, I really need to talk to you about something personal." We sit down and we begin to talk. And he lays it out for me. "Well, I'm just going to say it. I want to transition as a woman and I want to know what you think about it." That's what he tells me. 27 years old, a wife, and two kids. So I asked him a question. I said, "Do you love your children?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Good." I said, "Do you love your wife?" He says, "Yes." I said, "That's really good too. Do you love them more than yourself?" And he just looks at me. And he pauses for a minute and he says, well, shouldn't we love one another equally? And I said, depending upon what your definition of love is. So I gave him the true definition. He cried. He even allowed me to pray for him. But went on about his way, and 6 weeks later began the process. He lost his two kids, his wife, his house, and the job, because the hormone therapy was just too much. He could not come to work. He was shaking violently. And when you're working on electronics, that doesn't work. And sadly, we have many Christians that align themselves with this ideology. They don't see a problem with it. And this is a major problem for Christians to accept because it rejects the order of God's creation. Yes, we need to show love. And you know how you do that? By speaking the truth. And what's sad is many parents are telling their children it's okay. It's okay. Christian parents. Instead of equipping them with a biblical response, they tell them it's okay. And then they say, well, I don't want them to get into any issues in school. You know, I have an 11-year-old daughter still going to school. But think of it. I'm going to tell my daughter a lie. So with my divine protection, I can keep her safe. I don't protect my daughter. God does. And how much faith will she have, knowing that I have none? I equip her on how to deal with it. Everyone does not have the money to homeschool or to send their children to private schools. And we should not keep them in the house. There's a way to do it. God's way. Because when we tell our children it's okay, we're lying. And we're being disobedient. Because we're not raising the child in the ways of the Lord by lying. And besides, do we think things are going to get better? Whoever thinks so is reading another book. I believe we set our children up for failure when we do not tell them the truth. And if we decide to compromise here, everything else is on the table. And Satan knows it. We need to speak the truth and love to those that the Lord would place in front of us, always praying for that unique discernment that each of us need. We must do that. Jesus did not say that it was going to be easy. He even told us that they're going to hate us for his name's sake. You know, I pray that everyone who is dealing with this issue, whether it be a sexual lifestyle that goes against the word of God, transgenderism, and anything else inside that will go to and come inside a Bible-believing, loving church. Get the word of truth and prayerfully leave differently and become a disciple, championing against that which you used to be. All of us should be doing that. Our God is the God of all, and there is no issue that is too great. And this issue with genderism is not the unpardonable sin. There's some people who have transitioned and are like, am I still going to be able to be saved? Now, absolutely. Absolutely. Just come from among them and be ye separate, and serve the true and living God. As for the church, we can't lie to ourselves about these issues. It doesn't help, it hurts. We can't lie to those who are of the world for political peace, and we cannot lie to our children. What does the Bible say about lying lips? The short answer is a lot. But here, captured in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12 and verse 22, the word of God reads, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight." And take notice that the Lord does not just indicate that we speak truthfully in order to be his delight. He says that we deal truthfully. Do you see that? We deal truthfully. Because speaking is one thing, but dealing or being about the truth is another. We have many people that profess Christ but deal like devils. The Lord sees through all that garbage. And when we decide it's better for me to hide behind this lie, to protect my feelings, we're nothing but devils. Might as well just join them. The Bible says that Satan was a liar from the beginning and the father of them. And we want to partner up with Satan? What side of the coin are we on? Are we an abomination to the Lord? Or are we his delight? Do we deal in truth or in lies? Where do we stand at? That's a question we should ask ourselves every single day if need be. And I believe it is. So up to about 6 or 7 years ago, this issue regarding gender identity was classified as gender identity disorder. But just like with all disorders, if you have a disorder, that means it needs to be corrected. So what do they have to do? They have to normalize it. So this disorder was reclassified as gender dysphoria. And that's what we hear today. And this is what sets the stage for what we see now. Because dysphoria, or from the Greek dysphoros, is defined as a feeling of dissatisfaction, anxiety, and restlessness. That's what dysphoria means. So now with this reclassification, we have feelings that outweighs facts, reality, and absolute truth. Dysphoria. And this concept of dysphoria is being played out in every aspect of morality. Dissatisfied with it. We need to change it. And when it starts here at the very core of our design makeup, you best believe there's going to be more social problems that follow rapidly. Because you know why? The mind becomes a most terrible place without the spirit of the true and living God. And issues like transgenderism becomes uncontainable. And what you see on the screen right here, it's just a short list of gender identity markers that are being taught and promoted throughout the school system and also in many churches. Unbelievable. Believe it. This is a problem. Because in the end, Again, it attempts to rearrange God's design and purpose regarding males and females. Bring in all the chaos and all the confusion. You know who's behind it? The devil himself. This is a mental condition. There's other mental conditions that go along with this, but they don't classify them, gender dysphoria, as a mental condition anymore. There's this condition that I saw called body dysmorphic disorder. And it's basically, you can look it up, it's where you don't think you look right, so you have a lot of cosmetic surgery. That's a short thing. But you do it over and over and over and over again, and they classify that as a disorder, a mental condition. Rightfully so. There's also one called body integrity identity disorder. This is where you feel that you're trapped in a body that should not have an arm, or you shouldn't hear, or you should not have your sight, or become quadriplegic just because you feel like that's where you're supposed to be at. It's a mental disorder, and they classify it as such because they say you want to take a perfect, healthy part of your body and remove it. But my question is, that's exactly what many are doing in the transgender community. And parents are allowing their children to make those decisions at 8 and 9 years old when they can't even decide what type of ice cream to get. That's child abuse. And I don't mean to scream, but I make no apology about how I feel. This is hurtful. And many Christians are championing this. Me and my brother Nate were talking about this term dysphoria throughout the week. And, you know, it's actually almost a proper explanation in a sense when we consider the nature of their dissatisfaction. And the true nature of their dissatisfaction is against how God created them. Dissatisfied with the way they were created. God's design is not good enough. I need to correct his mistake. And or nature's problem, like many would say, because many of them do not even believe and God in the first place, but I hope that changes. But when we're left with just our feelings as our compass of what's true and what's right and what's wrong, then anything goes. Just so long as it fits the satanic and demonic agenda, though. And I say that deliberately because you will never see or hear a doctor endorse ethnic dysphoria. It won't happen, because what that will do will interrupt one of Satan's other tools that he uses, which is fabricated racism. See, it will throw a monkey wrench in that plan. So you won't see ethnic dysphoria. You won't see that. You'll see a lot of racism, a lot of it, and prayerfully we're going to be talking about that on Sunday. But when we're dealing with gender, Satan hates the family makeup. This is the purpose of all of this mess. Because he realizes when he distorts the design that God has given us, it can distort our understanding of who God's character is. That's the problem. Because notice that God uses the family structure to teach us about his nature. And one commentator would write, he says, we can only describe and understand the relationship of God the Father to God the Son if we understand the relationship of earthly fathers to earthly sons. If Satan can distort or destroy family, he can distort and destroy our ability to understand God's triune nature. And I agree. When we think about it, how does one who believes that they are gender neutral or of some other makeup that's not biblical, how do they fit in God's structured family when they are told there's something else? Even though God sees them as sons and daughters still, they themselves can feel like there's no place for me, as they do now, which drives them to do what they do in many cases. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, the word of God reads, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." The very wording of Scripture throughout the Bible picks up and is based on the understanding of the family structure. And this family structure is what was given to us, a design for God's purpose. And it really allows us to understand and how to fully express love and exercise it as male and female. Think about this as we get ready to close. Male and female, displaying the nature of God's love, complementing one another. I believe it's all shown through a biblical courtship and marriage. And when we look at what's been called the four loves in the Bible, or four different Greek words that represent love in the Bible, it shows why this family structure fully represents each aspect of these love words. First, when we think about it as male and female, by ourselves, independently, we need to have that agape love, that unconditional love for our God, as He has for us. As individuals, male and female, that agape love. And then here comes the courtship, that friendship, that philios, that brotherly love, as we reach out to our partner in an understanding, in a noble way, treating them like we want to be treated. That's the next phase. And then as we become married, we consummate our marriage with the eros love, where we get the word erotic from. And that's a physical love, an affectionate love. And by doing so, we have the byproduct of storge love, which is natural affection for our offspring. This is the experience that is forfeited when we choose the ways of the world. We miss out on this true love and settle for the love of the world, which only satisfies for a moment, when Christ satisfies for eternity. There is someone of the opposite sex for everyone. But perhaps first, what we all should do and encourage people to do is seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the church should be leading the charge in that. That's our duty, a major part of it. But sadly, many churches have bought into this idea to disrupt the family, as the world has, and just keep doing it, and turn their back on God's design and what's in His word. And all of you who do so, those churches, you have biblical dysphoria. Because you are dissatisfied with the scriptures. So you want to change them to match your feelings. You want to improve on it. You're the hirelings. that are brought into the church in order to tickle itching ears with a bunch of lies. And then you bring in doctors and entertainers and try to woo the congregation with a bunch of spiritual garbage. Meanwhile, people are starving for the truth. People like that, buildings that call themselves churches like that, are a major part of the problem. And those of you who are inside those buildings and you recognize it, you need to come from among them, be ye separate, and do like we all need to do and pray earnestly for them. One or two things that they turn around and become useful to the Lord, or the Lord will shut them down. Again, when we team up with the world, that is not showing our love for the true and living God. We know that love is of God because God is love. And we also know that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, the Word of God reads, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up," verse 5, "does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil," and verse 6, pay attention, "does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth." Verse 7, "bears all things," and I would say all things in the scriptures, "believes all things that are in the scriptures, hopes all things will come to pass that are spoken about in the scriptures, and endures all things no matter what happens," as we follow the scriptures. These people are hurting, and they need the truth and not some feel-good lie. Jesus loves them, no doubt. He is the answer for them. So we need to pray for opportunities to reach them with the truth. We are all created in His image for His glory, male and female. Do you believe it? Why don't we stand so we can pray? Father in heaven, it's up to you, Lord. I'm but a vessel, and I feel inadequate. But Lord, your word will not return void. Your purpose will be fulfilled. I pray that the ears and the hearts that receive your word and will receive it will be blessed, and that you will show them your love. Give them understanding and give us all the guidance we need to do your will in your way. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.